ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज कर्म योग। श्री भगवान उवाच लोकेस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघा ज्ञानयोगेन सांख्याना कर्मयोगेन योगिना। श्री लेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड, ओ सिनलेस अर्जुन, आई हैव ऑलरेडी एक्सप्लेन दैट देर आर टू क्लासेस ऑफ मेन who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Purport. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga, or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit, soul, spirit and matter. It is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. The Lord explained also in the 39th verse, that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse, that this Buddhi Yoga is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna. And in this way, all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, both yogas are interdependent. As religion and philosophy, religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanatism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation, by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And the other process is directly connecting with everything in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this verse is the answer for Arjuna's question. Arjuna raised two questions after listening to the second chapter, which is Sankhya Yoga, or contents of the Gita summarized. What he understood was because his mind was still on not fighting the battle. So therefore he was trying to find some loopholes in the description of Krishna, as Prabhupada explains, that Arjuna was trying to find some means by not fighting. Here Prabhupada explains that, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. But as a sincere student, he placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as to his best course of action. So therefore, when we listen to philosophy or read a book manifests according to, or the understanding comes according to our perception. So Arjuna had a strong perception not to fight. So what he understood here, therefore, is asking this question. O Janardhan, O Keshava, Why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work, so it's catching Krishna, selective listening. This is there from, now they find out, you know, this is selective listening. But we can see Arjuna is listening selectively. My intelligence is bewildered. This is, now because he is not able to understand clearly because of his preconceived ideas, but at the same time Arjuna is a sincere student. He is an honest disciple. Therefore, rather than speculating upon what Krishna said and what he understood, he makes a very sincere inquiry from the Lord. My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. This is honesty. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is not simply words. When we read Bhagavad Gita, one can read them and think it's words. But Bhagavad Gita is not a word. Bhagavad Gita is the song of God. By seeing Arjuna's condition, precarious condition, the Lord out of compassion is singing a song to create an ointment to the afflicted heart of Arjuna. And as he sees the sincerity of Arjuna, therefore when we read Bhagavad Gita from the heart's point of view, from Krishna's involvement point of view, Arjuna's condition point of view, then we see there is such a great flavor in Bhagavad Gita. Just like in the second chapter, Krishna told Arjuna that natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa na chaivana bhavishyama sarve vayam atampara. Now this verse technically shows that how living entity is never separated, or a living entity can never merge with the Supreme Lord. They are eternally separate, and there is an eternal relationship with the living entity. And one can see it from a technical point of view, but one can also see from Krishna's commitment point of view. A rejection is a natural course of action for a conditioned soul when the relationships don't work properly. One wants to reject the relationship, one wants to forget the relationship and establish another relationship. If you see from Krishna's heart's point of view, this verse shows that at no point of time I will break my relationship with you. Either you act whimsically, whether you act devotionally, whether you act rebelliously, I will never break that relationship. So therefore, you have to understand Arjuna's situation. He is so attached, not fighting, because of compassion. Because of compassion of extending himself to the other party also. And therefore is trying to find some loopholes in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he knows very well, this is not what Krishna wants. And therefore he is doing an honest inquiry from the Lord. Just like in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also. Now Arjuna's honesty leads to Krishna's explanation. Therefore we get to hear Bhagavad Gita. Now Arjuna explained to Krishna, Chanchalam Manahi Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. Confessing oneself. Now Arjuna's confessing becomes a world history for eternity. You can imagine for someone who lived in such a high family, connected to great family from both the sides, from the father's side and from the mother's side, to confess. Now this is my problem. In a public place, which will be taken as a scripture, future. But Arjuna does not mind, because that's his difficulty. Like someone said, that it is better that people hate you for what you are than love you for what you are not. Because a life of hypocrisy, duplicitous behavior, does not attract the mercy, but Krishna is merciful to those who are honest in confessing their difficulties. And this is what we see in Arjuna. Arjuna is willing to confess his conditioning, And I still don't want to fight, but I know that you know what is best for me. Therefore, my Lord, you know, make it very clear. Give a decisive answer which is better. Because jnana involves a rejection of action, apparently. Therefore, the concept of jnana begins with neti neti in the Vedanta Sutra, in the Upanishads. The negative concept is very strong. Not this, not that, no sense gratification, no involvement in this, no involvement in that. And this is what Arjuna is looking for. Arjuna is looking for not fighting. And then Krishna is calling not involvement in activities as jnana marga, which is higher than karma yoga. Therefore Arjuna says, if you say jnana is higher than action, then why my, O Lord, why do you engage me in a ghastly warfare? Doesn't make any sense to me. And then therefore he raises this question. Jnana yoga, in the second chapter Krishna explained, tani sarvani sayamya, that controlling the senses. The nature of the senses is to be active. When the sense object is there, the sense object, even though it is a dead matter, has the power to attract the senses. And the senses become activated. Senses are already alive by the connection of the soul. But when they come in contact with the sense object, we see how senses become alert. You show a dead toy to a child. What is that toy? Toy is nothing but dead plastic. But that toy can make a child dance. All the senses become very activated. That is the power of sense object. So, the jnana marga process is that tani sarvani sayamya, control the senses. Do not allow the senses to take part in activities. Yahi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yona vayavate. That whenever the senses get involved in the sense object, there is reaction in the form of suffering. So naturally, don't get involved in anybody's life. Don't get involved in any sense objects. By not involving any sense object, you do not cause reactions. So this is what Arjuna wants, because if Arjuna takes part in interacting with the senses, and what are his sense objects? And what kind of interaction Krishna wants Arjuna to get involved in? Not playing with toys. The sense object for Arjuna is bow and arrows. And what kind of arrows? Divine weapons. And what kind of divine weapons? Within no time, the nuclear weapons can cause destruction within 7 seconds. But Arjuna's Brahmastra can destroy entire creation within no time. And Arjuna possessed these weapons, and there was a chance that he could use this weapon. And against whom? Unfortunately, against his own relatives, whom he liked very much, Bhishma and Drona. So therefore, as a nice person, as a devotee of the Lord, he wanted to have something, a proper process, and at the same time avoid his responsibility. This is another nature of a conditioned soul. Of course, Arjuna is not a conditioned soul, but is playing that role. That conditioned soul wants some apparent spiritual process or a religious process to fulfill his own material needs. It has to look like religion. It has to look like spiritual. It has to be flavored with religion. If it is flavored with religion, then it becomes very, very famous religion. If there is a sense gratification in that religion, if there is, you know, interaction with the sense object in that religion, then it becomes very easy to practice. Why? It looks like a religion. And that's what Arjuna is looking for. Arjuna is looking that this is jnana yoga, my Lord, and that is higher, so therefore it is but natural that I should not get involved. And he's posing. You quoted. He's telling Arjuna, Krishna, that he explained in the second chapter, Indriyani Sayama. Yaste Manasasmaran. That control the senses, and in this way mind is controlled. But the Karma Yuga principle is that Arjuna is forgetting to understand. Swadharmam chapi aveksha, chaveksha, na vikarpitu arhasi. That by engaging in one's swadharma, there will be no reaction. This is what Krishna is telling to Arjuna. And therefore the Lord explains here, my dear Arjuna, there are two things, lokesmin dvividha nishta. And these two kinds of nishta are not created now, they are since time immemorial. One is called as Sankhya and one is called as Karma or Karma Yoga. And more specifically, Srila Prabhupada defines Karma Yoga as devotional service. In fact, no activity, now we'll read in the next verse or the next to next verse, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtati akarma krit karyate vashahi karma sarva prakritir jayargunai. That no one can survive in this world without performing action. Thinking, what is thinking? Thinking is the action of the mind. Analyzing, it is the action of an intelligence. Extending our hand, saying no is also an action. It may sound it is no action, but when we say no, that is also action. What to speak of that? Neutrality is also considered as an action. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, in regards to one of the stories, that by being neutral, they were saying yes. By being neutral. So you're implicated for that sin. Just like in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, when the Brahmana patnis, or the Brahmanas, denied giving charity to Krishna's friends. They did not say, Krishna's friends said, you know, Krishna and Balram are hungry, and they need some food, please offer them something. And they did not say anything. They did not say yes, neither did they say no, but they were implicated for saying no to Krishna. They could have said, we were neutral, we did not say no, neither we said yes, but what was the reaction? The reaction where they were implicated for saying no. And therefore, when the Brahmana patnis offer charity to Krishna, and this Brahmanas come to know, they actually condemn their life. They said, hell with our birth, hell with our yajna, hell with our knowledge. That when Krishna came, we could not offer anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one cannot see no action in any situation of life. No action is only possible when the body is not functioning, when the Atma lives, when the soul lives. The dead body does not function, but within the dead body there are living entities which are functioning. For someone it is a dead body, but somebody else it is a place of activity. Just like if someone becomes sickly, you know, sleeping on the street or in the forest, immediately you can see hawk or a vulture coming and hovering over, looking that when I can swoop over and capture. So therefore, even the dead body activates somebody else. Therefore, in this world, one cannot find anywhere where there is no action. Therefore, Jnana Yoga, why it is called as Jnana Yoga? Jnana Yoga has less action, but the action is there, but more the principle of seeking knowledge is there. And why Karma Yoga is called as Karma Yoga? Karma Yoga is called as Karma Yoga because there is more action. But the foundation of why one is doing that action, that understanding is very much there. Simply action without that understanding, that why am I doing this action, is a simply hard labor, waste of energy. Or having knowledge, but not having action, is the principle of demonic philosophy also, in one sense. Just like in the Mahabharata, we discussed this before. Karna knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gandhari knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they also knew engaging in the service of the Lord is the duty of a living entity. That knowledge was there, but the action was not there. The action was leading against the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the knowledge was there, but the activity was not favoring to that knowledge. So therefore, Karma Yoga has unlimited action, but that action is supported by proper understanding. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, action or religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or at worst fanatism. Or philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So therefore, Jnana Marg has more speculation, a philosophical speculation, but less action. But Karma Yoga has got more action and less knowledge. But knowledge is there. And what does Arjuna is supposed to do according to his nature, his very nature, which Krishna explained in the second chapter, that as a Kshatriya, it is most pertinent for you to fight. The example is given, milk. Milk is a liquid substance, better than water. But you take a fish and put fish in the milk, it will die. Even though milk is nourishing, it is nutritious, it is pleasing, it increases our spiritual intellect. But still, if that milk is offered as a residential place for the fish, thinking, oh, we will offer you a better place than water, best cow's milk, costing 60 rupees per liter, but that will not do any good to the fish. The milk will be spoiled and the fish will also die. You cannot offer it to Krishna, neither fish will survive. So this is called a sentimentalism. Wrong action. So therefore, here Krishna is proposing Arjuna, since your very nature, you are a Kshatriya, your very nature is to engage in activities. So therefore, engage in activities which will bring you to the level of detachment eventually. And we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the example in this very chapter, the example of Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj was the greatest yogi. He was a Karma Yogi. A Karma Yogi means what? Absorbed in action, but all those actions are connected to Krishna. Therefore, one sage came to him. A jnani came to Janak Maharaj and he said, how is it possible for you being absorbed in the kingdom and not being detached, not being attached to this place? It is not possible. If you are living in the world, surrounded by unlimited opulence. Now the sage was seeing from his point of view that any interaction with any kind of matter makes one get attached. So therefore he was judging Janak Maharaj also to be like that. That how is it possible? And Janak Maharaj did not answer. He gave a lamp. He said, take this lamp and go around my kingdom, my palace. And see that one condition is that when you are walking around the palace, see that the lamp does not get extinguished. The lamp should keep burning. The sage took and he went around the palace, being very careful not to extinguish that lamp. And came back and then Janak Maharaj said, so tell me, what did you see in my palace? What was fascinating to you? I said, nothing. I walked around the palace, but I don't know what I saw, because I was totally concerned and careful not to put off the fire, put off the lamp. So Janak Maharaj said, similarly, the lamp of devotion, a lamp of connection to the Lord is burning within my heart. So I'm very careful not to, put it off. Therefore, even though I'm involved in this world, performing all my duties, getting involved in this material world, still I'm not affected. And the sage immediately realized. That is called experiential knowledge. He had an experiential knowledge given by Janak Maharaj that he's allowing the lamp of devotion to burn within his heart. So he's involved in this world, but not affected by the world. And therefore Krishna quotes Janak Maharaj as the best example for Karma Yoga and helping Arjuna to avoid the principle of Yati Dharma. Now Arjuna's question here has twofold. One is, he says, my dear Lord, according to you, the sannyas dharma is better. Sannyas dharma is better because being a sannyasi or being a renunciate, you don't get involved in killing, you know, being angry and punishing them. So therefore, such an activity of a sannyasi, that better I don't get involved. That is the one way he explains. And even though there is action in sannyasi's life, but what is his action? His actions are fully 100% connected to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather than shooting arrows, he's shooting mala, chanting Hare Krishna. Rather than holding a bow and arrow, he's holding a danda. Rather than speaking harsh words on the battlefield, when a warrior is fighting, it is not only arrows he shoots. He shoots words which are very, very piercing. You have to break down the confidence of the opposing army by boasting yourself. So you have to exhibit arrogance. You have to create fear. You have to insult physically, verbally, mentally, with weapons. You have to minimize the strength of the other party. And therefore Krishna and Arjuna, when they blew their conch, by blowing their conch in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it caused trembling in the hearts of the Kuru army. That was the beginning of their defeat. And there were no such signs in the army of the Pandavas. So that, what you have to do? But a sannyasi's life, a renunciate's life is what? You be nice to others, always praise, always encourage them. There is no question of hurting anybody. So why not prefer, if you want me to do action, why not let me become a sannyasi? That is one question. And second is, if jnana is better than karma, why perform karma? What is the point? So therefore Krishna very systematically explains, even though yati dharma is there, but yati dharma is not meant for you. The Sanaka and Sanandan, they perform yati dharma, but for you, you will achieve the same goal by following the path of Janak Maharaj. The activities in devotional service. Therefore, Karma Yoga, now here Prabhupada very specifically defines Karma Yoga as devotional service. Even though technically, there is a difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Karma Yoga involves that you are attached to particular kind of karma. Your interest is, for example, your interest is you are an artist. Being an artist, then you paint Krishna's picture. That becomes your devotion. Or you're attached to singing. And you sing for Krishna. That means you have certain expertise in certain kind of occupation, but that occupation is offered to Krishna in action and in result also. While performing that activity, because the intention is to please Krishna, the nature of that action is also connected to Krishna and the results are also connected to Krishna. That is Karma Yoga. But in Bhakti Yoga, you offer yourself to Krishna. And however Krishna engages you, you are willing to be engaged by Krishna. You do not go with the preconceived situation. No, this is what I am and this is what you have to accept me. So that is Karma Yoga. But still, that is also much higher. Therefore, Prabhupada, in a very broader sense, he explains Karma Yoga also as devotional service, non-different. And Jnana Yoga also. In fact, we talked about action. You cannot find any yoga without action. In fact, more higher than that, you cannot find any yoga without devotion. Whether it is Karma Yoga, whether it is Jnana Yoga, whether it is Ashtanga Yoga, whether it is Bhakti Yoga. Of course, Bhakti Yoga is directly filled with very clear understanding of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. there is sharanagati, there is surrender, there is love, there is affection, there is unlimited service. It is not indirect process. But other process, you don't see it. Like in Ashtanga Yoga, our Kardamu Muni, by practice of Ashtanga Yoga, was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had the glimpse of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he cried tears. And those tears formed the Bindu Sarovar, the tears from the eyes of Kardamu Muni. But how did he see Krishna? He saw Krishna through the path of Ashtanga Yoga. But while practicing Ashtanga Yoga, there was also the principle of devotional service. There was a principle of devotional service. Similarly in Jnana Yoga also. One may study Jnana. But what do you study Jnana? You study Shastra. And what is Shastra? Shastra is nothing but either directly brings to Krishna or through speculative method. The analytical system is to cancel everything first. When we see this material world, there are living entities, there are ingredients of 24 elements, there is pradana, there is false ego, everything is there. When you start cancelling, delete, we keep on deleting, one by one, one by one, one by one, one by one. And eventually when you delete the soul also, then you realize actually everything is working because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is there. He is the source of everything. So ultimately, analytical study has, if the analytical study is done properly under the guidance of another jnani, where do you go? You come to the same conclusion that the Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example is given that water is there. Now Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the taste in the water. Now how do you know? You drink. If you are thirsty, especially in the summer season, and if you are in the deserts of Rajasthan, and your thirst is simply increasing, and there is no water around. Of course we take water for granted. But if you are actually thirsty in a place like Rajasthan where there is no water available in the desert, and somebody comes and offers you one glass of water, and is not directly giving one glass of water, you know, he says, lift your mouth, and he's pouring one sip after another sip, little by little. When you drink that water, the taste of that water would be much higher than the nectar. And then you realize, my God, that is God. The water, the taste of that water is God. So that is experiential understanding that how Krishna is the taste in the water. But somebody who is not thirsty, he has a glass of water next to him and he reads Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the taste of water. So how is it possible that God is taste in the water? So he starts analyzing. The water is there and he is not thirsty and he keeps analyzing. And then he comes to this conclusion by proper analysis with the guidance of a higher jnani that how God is taste in the water. He accepted the same conclusion, but the difference was with all that endeavor. The simple example is that either you eat like this or you go like this. That means you have to be expert in yoga exercise to eat like that. But still, it is a strange procedure. The strange procedure is what? That it looks odd also. So Gyan Marga is like that. It's roundabout, you know, going with such a great difficulty. But the Karma Yoga, because the inherent nature of the living entity is to be active. Even within the womb of a mother, the child is active. He's expecting a reciprocation. Like someone was showing this video. One doctor has made a video of a child which is being aborted. And the child is becoming defensive. In fact, somebody sent a small clipping or a picture. The child is trying to hold the hands of a doctor who's trying to abort.
So even in that condition, the child is active to defend himself. What to speak when the child has all the facilities to exhibit his independence? He is given a space to act. Then there is a more action. Why? Because that is the nature of the living entity. So therefore, rather than stopping the child from action, one has to allow the child to be active. And if that activity is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it becomes yoga. Just see, the process of yoga is so simple if one understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, there is no objection, or there is no second thought, or there is no confusion when Arjuna is about to be engaged in the activities of shooting arrows. Because it is under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he shoots arrows, that is a sacrifice. That is yajna. And therefore, in the third canto of the Bhagavad, we discuss this. That Uddhava says, Arjuna's shooting was such an act that it was taking everybody back to the spiritual world. Whoever appreciated Krishna by seeing, like somebody asking, that he has a business of pest control. Pest controls involves killing insects. He's a devotee. He's trying to be a devotee. And he said, Prabhuji, what is the difference between my business of pest control and Arjuna shooting the arrows? What is the difference? Is there any difference? Because killing is there in both. Somebody asked the same thing to Prabhupada also, not in regards to pest control, but when Prabhupada was teaching Bhagavad Gita in the Western world, and Prabhupada was making a point to them, how can you kill animals in a slaughterhouse, opening big slaughter, even though Jesus has said, thou shalt not kill. He was making that point. And the man said, what is the difference? You kill animals, you kill human beings on the battlefield, that's what you are practicing, Bhagavad Gita, and we kill animals. And Prabhupada says, such a difference. There is a vast difference. You are killing a living entity which is not, has the facility to defend himself. And only for sense gratification. On the battlefield, the warrior, they fight the battle. It is not that Arjuna is killing someone who is hiding in a bunker and Arjuna is chasing him. Bharaja tumhe dekhta hu tumko. It's not like that. In fact, the rule of the battle is that if you see a warrior running away, he's showing a back. Showing his back for a warrior is an insult. And shooting such a warrior behind his back is also insult for the warrior, one who is shooting. You can never shoot behind. Arjuna could never do that. A warrior always takes arrows on his chest. So Prabhupada said, what a connection you are making. You are catching innocent animals, not giving them chance to defend. If you really want to actually kill animals, go to the jungle, fight the animals, if you have that daring. Why go to the mall and buy, which is a packed food? So there is a difference. You are killing here defenseless animals, but here Arjuna's action is supported by Dharma Shastra. It is not Krishna's whimsical decision. Even some of the so-called, like Prabhupada explains, he says, non-violence may be good diplomacy in politics, but never matter of principle. Such a brilliant point. What is principle means? Principle never changes. So it can never be a principle. It's a diplomatic policy at certain circumstance. But if one sticks to that circumstance in all situations, then that very non-violence can cause great violence. Can cause a great violence. Just like, if you extend this example, which we have heard many times, one such proposer of non-violence philosophy, you know, he saw a small ant crawling on his beard. Now he thought that if I pull out that ant, it is so small that I will kill that ant. So he went to the ant hill. and slowly bent down, placed his beard on the anthill, hoping that ant will go to the anthill, but rather than happening that, all the ants climbed on the beard. More ants. Now you can imagine what happened to his non-violence philosophy, because they started biting, and beard itself is always, it's a very disturbing thing. So he started, you know, squeezing his hands over his beard, and hundreds of ants were killed. And that's what happened in 1947. By following that philosophy of non-violence, trying to keep your beard in an anthill caused unlimited violence. So therefore Prabhupada was very clear. When you do not follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, now it is not Krishna who is proposing the battle, rather the dharma forces Arjuna to understand through Krishna's point of view. Krishna is saying, quoting Shastras, this is what the right course of action you have to do. It is not this many number were killed, that many number were killed. It's a question of dharma yuddha. If you are in the police department and special in encounter specialist, you have been appointed to kill hooligans or a mafia, then if you follow the philosophy of non-violence, they will keep on killing more number of people because of your practice of non-violence. So therefore a brilliant point. Non-violence can never be a principle. It is simply a diplomacy in the politics field. Can be used at some point of time, but cannot become a matter of principle. Because dharma is so dynamic, it is so fast moving, that one has to understand the movement of dharma and act accordingly. And Krishna therefore is giving that guidance to Arjuna, not allowing Arjuna to speculate in regards to what is dharma. And we were saying that many people in regards to practicing dharma, when they speculate, they create utpata. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami explained, Shruti Shruti Puranadi Pancharatrik Vidimuna Aikantika Harir Bhaktir Utpate Vahi Kalpate. We are discussing in our Brahmachari class that the Nirvisheshwadis, those who do not agree to worship the deity form of the Lord, thinking that that's a waste of time. I'll make this point that you don't tie the pagadi of Krishna, but you have to tie your own pagadi. Somebody was saying that when you create your own religion, you end up spending 2 hours to tie your pagadi, but you don't want to worship Krishna because you consider that to be a statue. Therefore, anything which is not connected to proper dharma, it has to create a havoc. It has to create a religion, or has to create a path or a system which becomes a disturbance. Therefore, Krishna is not allowing Arjuna to create that disturbance. And how does he create that disturbance? The best disturbance you create when you flavor that with religion. And that is the most dangerous. If one is atheistic outright, one is materialistic outright, he's an animal. It's not that he's good. He's an animal. But when you propose a materialistic activity, non-involvement in the concept presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you give a flavor or a picture of religion, that is ludicrous and most dangerous. And therefore Arjuna still has that conditioning, but because he is a sincere student of Krishna, immediately he asks that question. You know, what is best for me? Tell me decisively. Therefore, when a spiritual master engages his disciples in the matter of devotional service, how does he do it? He does it by seeing the nature of a disciple. Now Arjuna's nature is a nature of a warrior, and the requirement is a battlefield. A requirement is a war. So his nature is there, and the requirement is there to punish the culprit. Just see, the two principles are in balance. There is a requirement that you punish, and there is a person who can do that service. That means if Arjuna does not function, does not follow the words of Krishna, he is breaking two regulative principles. One is not acting according to his nature, and second, not fulfilling the requirement which Krishna wants to establish dharma. Just see, his jnana marga, his so-called proposed jnana marga, will cause two kinds of ruination. One is his own ruination of not acting according to his nature, and second ruination is that he will be responsible for causing adharma in the world for a long time. So therefore, here very systematically Krishna is going to approach the Karma Yoga principle in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, making it very clear to Arjuna, quoting different examples from the Shastras. Therefore, Jnana Marga, for one who is not practicing Jnana, one who is supposed to practice Karma Marga, Karma Yoga, that Jnana Marga could be laziness. And Krishna therefore explains to Arjuna that give up this lethargy and laziness, O Arjuna, and fight diligently. One can be lazy and one can say that I'm speculating, I'm doing philosophical speculation. Therefore, we see that it may sound something good, but if you see from a higher perspective, one can say, I'm very patient, I tolerate everything, but that could be pure laziness. One could be so passionate in getting things done and may call it as enthusiasm. One may be very, very harsh and outright blunt, and he may call it as straightforwardness. And same thing is happening with Arjuna also. And therefore Prabhupada, as he mentions here, he is trying to avoid skillfully by using Krishna's words only. Just imagine how dangerous it is when Arjuna is with Krishna, still he wants to avoid his duties. And what to speak when Krishna is not personally there. And therefore so many kinds of philosophies, so many kinds of path, so many kinds of concepts have developed. Why? By taking something out of context. Like our Shikshastakam Prabhu was mentioning in his class recently, that he was quoting Bhagavad Gita only. What was that? Very interesting point he made. In one of the book, a mention is there about something. And when you turn the page, the statement is read. What is that? You remember? Huh? One should not? Now something like that, the previous statement, right, that is the story, right, he was, that one mullah, he came to his superiors, and he stopped doing namaz, and the superior asked him, why are you not reading namaz? He said, because Quran itself says. He said, where does it say? And he read, one should not do namaz. And he was also shocked. But he turned the page and he saw there, one should not. The statement was, in this condition, the conditions were in the previous page. What were the conditions? That one should be clean, one should be this, one should be that. And if you have broken that principle, then you should not be doing namaz. But he only took that statement and did not read this statement. Therefore, this whole Bhagavad Gita has to be understood from mentality's point of view and not from simply a pure philosophical point of view. What was Arjuna's mentality and how Krishna is curing Arjuna's mentality? And eventually at the end of Bhagavad Gita, we see, what does Arjuna say? Nasto moha. It was all bewilderment of the mind. Nasto Moha Smriti Radva Tvat Prasadad Maya Achyuta. My dear Lord, that my moha, the bewilderment, is eradicated, and therefore at this condition I am willing to perform my duty. As you say, I will perform according to your desire. And therefore Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the whole action of Arjuna killing on the battlefield, to the extent where Arjuna's arrows had the power and he exhibited that power in shooting and killing two Akshoyini Saina in one day. Like we were doing one children's program and I was describing the killing of Bhima of Dushyasana, very graphically explaining to the children as it is in the Mahabharata. The way Bhima killed Dushyasana is very horrific. That he is sucking the blood, he is declaring to everybody, you know, come, anyone wants to come and protect this guy, Dushyasana. And then he puts the knife and breaks open the heart of Dushyasana and the blood flows and Bhima puts his mouth and he lifts his mouth and screams. He should have enjoyed all kinds of food, all kinds of drink, but not this kind of. And everybody runs away from there. Gruesome. And I was asking children, is it cruel? And they said, very cruel, very cruel. But one girl said, cruel but right. That is a good understanding. Said, cruel but right. So therefore, it may look cruel, but what is the underlying principle? The underlying principle was, well, that was a just answer. Cruel but right. Why? Because even in that condition he was so boastful and arrogant. When Bhima asked him, which hand was it which caused this sin of trying to disrobe Draupadi? And he's dying, he could have been folding his hands and begging mercy from Bhima. He raised his hand, this hand. And you can imagine what will happen. So Bhima killed him badly. So therefore, cruel but right. That's a right understanding. So therefore, this right understanding comes when we are connected to the concept given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, or the concept presented by Srila Prabhupada and his followers, his predecessor acharyas, that how to understand Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, this Bhagavad Gita is different from so many Bhagavad Gita, because this Bhagavad Gita is not only seeing the words, the letter words, not seeing only the history, but seeing the mentality. The mentality of Arjuna and the heart of the Lord. When this two combined understanding is there, given by our acharyas, then we relish every word of Bhagavad Gita. Then you only see how much Krishna is kind, how much Krishna is extending. Where do you find, which book you find, where the Lord says, Neha Vikramana Shosti Pratyavayana Vidyate Swalpam Api. How much? Swalpa. Everybody knows this word Swalpa. Very little. Even if you perform little devotion, what is the result? That it will save from most dangerous type of fear. Only this kind of return Krishna can offer. Nobody else. And then unfortunately, the very so-called philosophers, not practicing jnana marg, but rather practicing their mano mind, their mind, manoratha. And therefore they cause so much of harm without understanding what is the real exact meaning is. Therefore Krishna is giving very clear understanding to Arjuna, and Arjuna is very honest to ask very straight and honest question to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exposing his condition, his attachment, wanting not to fight, at the same time presenting his honesty by asking this question. And that we will keep looking, we will keep finding that in the Bhagavad Gita, time to time. Sir Arjuna expresses something and Krishna gives the right answer to him. It's like I said, that when Arjuna said, Chanchala Manahi Krishna Pramati Balavadridam, Tasyaham Nigrahmanne Vayuravesu Dushkaram. Krishna did not say, you rascal, I am teaching you Bhagavad Gita, and then you still say your mind is chanchal. He was not expecting immediate Paramahamsa from Arjuna. The Lord said, Asamshayam Mahabhav. Yes, my dear Arjuna, what you say is absolutely right. There is no second thought about it. But how do you control your mind? Krishna sympathizes with us, but at the same time gives solution also. Yes, Arjuna, mind is very difficult to control. But how do you control the mind? You can control the mind by Abhyasenuta Kauntaya Vairagyanucha Griyate. Abhyasa denotes Karma Yoga, Vairagya denotes Jnana Marga. So therefore, in conclusion, they are no different. Both can be utilized. In Bhakti Yoga, as we understand, what is Bhakti Yoga? Bhakti Yoga, as Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you can use everything in the service of the Lord, including the missiles. Prabhupada actually writes, you can use missiles in the service of the Lord. That shows where non-violence stands. So similarly, even all of these yogas, Jnana Marg, Ashtanga Marg, Karma Marg, all these margas can be used to achieve highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. If one has the tendency to read Shastra, then go ahead and read. There are so many books. There are 18 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then so many devotees are writing purports over purports of Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's lectures are compiled. Prabhupada's letters are there. So there is no limit that one's desire to read Shastra will be fulfilled, because there is unlimited literature. And if someone is not good in reading Shastra, he has the difficulty that when he holds the book, the book automatically becomes a pillow or becomes a cover. You cover your face. You can find so many pictures you can actually take. Within no time, you know, people go to sleep. But they are very good in performing action. They love to serve. So there is a facility for them also. They can serve Krishna unlimitedly, hearing little Krishna conscious philosophy. In this way, they do not speculate, but engage in Krishna service. And those who want to speculate, they are focused. Because the concept given in the scriptures are so clear that the speculative mind becomes stunned. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains, if you think you are really intelligent, if you are really intelligent and good at speculating, then please speculate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Try to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you will be simply wonderstruck. You have the tendency to speculate, then speculate the mercy of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. How this mercy works, you will never come to know, because the nature of mercy is that you will never come to know how it works. If you come to know how it works, then it is not mercy. The nature of mercy is that it stuns you. It makes you bewildered. How is it possible? Like Krishna, by delivering Putana, she came to kill Krishna, but Krishna gave her the position of mother in the spiritual world. Now, how do you understand this? How can you philosophically speculate? You cannot. It is not possible. You can only be stunned by understanding the nature of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes very beautiful in the purport. The nature of a great gentleman is to find something good in the hip of unlimited bat. That is the nature of Krishna. There are unlimited reason to destroy Putana forever, eternally, and never to give her any kind of position. But what Krishna gave her? He gave her Golok Vrindavan. She became the nurse in the spiritual world. He killed Kamsa, but he gave Mukti to him. Kaundrak Vasudev, of all the figure, at least Putana never said, I am God. She came as a demon only. Kamsa never said, he is God. He never said, I am Krishna. He said, you are Krishna, I am Kamsa. Very clear. There was no confusion in Krishna, Kamsa. But Paundrak Vasudev, you can imagine his speculation and bewilderment. He actually was convinced that he was Krishna. And Krishna is fake. And therefore he sent a letter also that bring all the insignium, all the marks of Vasudev. I am actual Vasudev. To such an extent when Krishna came to the battlefield, what did he see? This Paundrak Vasudev had artificial two hands. Spent lot of money giving carpenters to make two hands. It was hanging, you know. And then he burnt his chest to create a Srivatsa Chinna. And he was done nice makeup. And seeing that, Krishna laughed. So Paundrak Vasudev gave some fun to Krishna. And then Krishna released this chakra. He said, take this chakra and kill Paundrak Vasudev. And where did Paundrak Vasudev go? He attends Sarupya Mukti. Just for imitating that I am Krishna, was killed by Krishna, attend Swarupya Mukti. Use all your speculative tendencies for understanding this one. You will not understand. You will simply be awestruck, wonderstruck. How is it possible? So therefore we were discussing Ramayana also. In Ramayana, when Lord Ram killed Ravan, Ravan is killed. What a character Lord Ram is. Amazing character. Ravan is killed. When you kill someone who is your enemy, of course we don't, we are Vaishnavas. Ram is a Kshatriya and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes to establish religion. When Ram killed Ravan and Vibhishan was not willing to perform last rites, and how did Lord Ram see? Lord Ram saw, he said, my dear Vibhishan, that body which was destructive has been removed from Ravan. That soul which was occupying this body, the body was wrong. So that surgery has been done. So therefore respect your brother as a brother and perform last rites, not to this body but to Ravan, the spirit soul. He said, offer him that respect. So Lord Ram had the power or the compassion to see that difference. Why? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not hold any malice towards Ravan. And what kind of sin Ravan had performed? What kind of philosophy Ravan had? What kind of arrogance Ravan had? He deserves to be, you know, killed piece by piece. But still Ram gave him a due respect as a warrior. And then he also advised Vibhishan that perform last rites to Ravan. So therefore when we understand from this point of view, Bhagavad Gita adding certain devotional feelings, then the Bhagavad Gita does not remain any more technical book. Otherwise Bhagavad Gita for many people is so difficult to read. How can I ever read Bhagavad Gita? I can read any newspaper, bring me. But not Bhagavad Gita. Not possible. Why? Because seeing it from a technical point of view. And therefore Krishna here so beautifully defines the difference between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga to Arjuna and combines them, harmonizes them in the third chapter itself by quoting different examples. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments till the curtain opens?
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class. My question is, when Mahaprabhu or Krishna shows mercy even to the people of demoniac tendency, how do we understand this? Do we understand this as a causeless mercy, or do we understand that those people of demoniac tendency must be some devotees in previous lives?
Even if they were, we were all devotees living in the spiritual world. What to speak of devotees? We were eternally living in the spiritual world. That itself is a surprising. First surprise is that how are how this living entity have come to this mundane world, quitting Krishna. And second is, even to such people who are so rebellious, how Krishna is so kind. So therefore, ultimately, whether they were eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world, or demonic by very nature, but the mercy factor cannot be minimized. The mercy, therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur very beautifully explains, Krishna has got many energies. Aishwarya Shakti is there, different kinds of Shaktis are there. But he says, who reigns, who controls, or who is the monarch of all a Shakti? He said, is Kripa Shakti. His Kripa Shakti, Krishna's justice Shakti. You know, just one glance over, one glance of Yamaraj, and who is he? He's an insignificant part of Krishna. If Yamaraj comes here walking on his buffalo, everybody will faint. But, and that is the power of Krishna. But higher than that power, Krishna's forgiving potency. Therefore, our acharyas explain that Krishna's Kripa Shakti is the most powerful weapon of the Lord. And especially in Kali Yuga, that is mostly required. And therefore Kaviraj Goswami, one of the beautiful verses, he said, if you are intelligent and if you think you are intelligent, then you try to apply your intelligence, your buddhi, to understand the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And when you try to understand, you will be simply wonderstruck by the nature of the Lord. So therefore, as we discuss, that every shastra has to be studied not with our preconceived ideas. Then we become like Shishupals, Kamsas, or someone who finds unlimited faults in the Vedas. Why? Because he's reading from his mundane point of view. One has to read Shastra from Krishna's point of view, from the author's point of view, read from Valmiki's point of view, read from Vyasa's point of view, not from our point of view. When we read Vyasa's point of view, when we read Valmiki's point of view, like Lord Ram's appearance day is coming, day after tomorrow. What is Ramayana? Ramayana is simply filled with unlimited sacrifice. But what a mundane author says, how much trouble, how much Ram troubled Sita? How much Lakshman troubled his wife Urmila? They are not seeing that. Urmila never saw that. Sita never saw that, and they have come to give justice to their difficulties. It's all sacrifice. Therefore, yajna means what? Yajna means sacrifice. Therefore, Ramayana presents this tattva of sacrifice, the principle of yajna. And only if you ask Bharat, if you have the chance to ask Bharat, if you have the chance to ask Lakshman, if you ask them, what was your experience? Oh, that experience is horrifying. They'll never say. And that experience, what to speak of that, some American freedom fighter said, I regret that I got only one body to give for my country. If someone can offer millions of times his body to his country, he had the guts to say when he was about to die. He said, they asked him, what is your last wish? He said, only one regret, that I have only one body to offer it to America, what to speak of other country. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Radha Gopinath ki.